Hare Krishna. So today we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12. We're going to do text 31, 32, and 33. It's 33 on the board. So I'll just read through the previous two verses, and there's a short purport, and then this verse. Text 31, translation. As the moon in its waxing fortnight develops day after day, so the royal prince Parikshit very soon developed luxuriantly under the care and full facilities of his guardian grandfathers. Text 32, translation. Just at this time, King Yudhisthira was considering performing a horse sacrifice to get freed from sins incurred from fighting with kinsmen. But he became anxious to get some wealth, for there were no surplus funds outside of fines and tax collection. Purport. As the Brahmanas and Vipras had a right to be subsidized by the state, the state executive head had the right to collect taxes and fines from the citizens. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, the state's treasury was exhausted, and therefore there was no surplus fund except the fund from tax collection and fines. Such funds were sufficient only for the state budget, and having no excess fund, the king was anxious to get more wealth in some other way in order to perform the horse sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform this sacrifice under the instruction of Bhishmadev. In translation, understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north, left by King Maruta. Purport. Maharaj Maruta, one of the great emperors of the world, he reigned over the world long before the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Maharaj Avikshit and was a great devotee of the sun of the sun god, known as Yamaraj. His brother, Sambarta, was a rival priest of the great Brihaspati, the learned priest of the demigods. He conducted one sacrifice called Sankara Yajna, by which the Lord was so satisfied that he was pleased to hand over to him the charge of a mountain peak of gold. This peak of gold is somewhere in the Himalaya mountains, and modern adventurers may try to find it there. He was so powerful an emperor that at the day's end of sacrifice, the demigods from the other planets, like Indra, Chandra, and Brihaspati, used to visit his palace. And because he had the gold peak at his disposal, he had sufficient gold in his possession. The canopy of the sacrificial altar was completely made of gold. In his daily performances of the sacrificial ceremonies, some of the inhabitants of the Vayu Loka, airy planets, were invited to expedite the cooking work of the ceremony, and the assembly of the demigods in the ceremony was led by Vishvadev. By his constant pious work, he was able to drive out all kinds of diseases from the jurisdiction of his kingdom. All the inhabitants of higher planets like Devaloka and Pitraloka were pleased with him for his great sacrificial ceremonies. Every day he used to give in charity to the learned Brahmanas such things as beddings, seats, conveyances, and sufficient quantities of gold. Because of munificent charities and performances of innumerable sacrifices, the King of Heaven, Indradev, was fully satisfied with him and always wished for his welfare. Due to his pious activities, he remained a young man throughout his life and reigned over the world for 1,000 years. Surrounded by his satisfied subjects, ministers, legitimate wife, sons, and brothers, even Lord Sri Krishna praised his spirit of pious activities. He handed over his only daughter to Maharishi Angira, and by his good blessings, he was elevated to the kingdom of heaven. First of all, he wanted to offer the priesthood to his of his sacrifices to learned Brihaspati, but the demigod refused to accept the post because of the king's being a human being, a man of this earth. He was very sorry for this, but on the advice of Narada Muni, he appointed Sambhata to the post, and he was successful in his mission. The success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the priest in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifice are forbidden because there is no learned priest amongst the so-called brahmanas who go by the false notion of becoming sons of brahmanas without brahminical qualifications. In this age of Kali, therefore, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan Yagya, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Omagana Dhamaram Dasya Ganandana Shakaya Chakshuramanitam Yana Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhatta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thanks for the invitation today, and I probably need your blessings because I'm a bit nervous. So this is a section of the Bhagavatam, the birth of Emperor Parikshit, and what is explaining is that after the Battle of Kurukshetra, King Yudhisthira, he was basically completely dejected because so many soldiers had been killed in the battle. And being a good-hearted devotee, although it was his duty and it was a just fight, Maharaj Yudhisthira was he was very sad that so many people had been killed. And Prabhupada explains that for a good-hearted person, if they feel they've done something wrong, if that feeling of remorse is purifying, but still, he had decided to do the Ashmaveda, is that right? Horse sacrifice. Ashwamedha Yagya. So the horse sacrifice sounds a bit gruesome, but it's because of the qualification of the priests at that time, the horse didn't really come to any harm. So he wanted to do this, Maharaj Yudhisthira, because he wanted to purify himself and purify everyone and everything after the so many soldiers had been killed. He was feeling like, you know, just for me to be king, so many people have died. So being in humility, he didn't think it was very fair. But at the same time, the battle was unavoidable. It was Krishna's plan, and it was politically, it was, you know, they tried many different ways to avoid it, but it was not possible due to the enemy's stubborn persistence and greed. So there's many different kinds of sacrifices. Yagya is generally translated as sacrifice. And generally in modern, normal life, we hear of people making sacrifices. Maybe they sacrifice their time for their family, or they might sacrifice their own comfort for someone else's comfort. They might give in charity to help less fortunate people. So generally, a sacrifice means giving up something for your own interest to benefit others. In ancient times, these sacrifices, they were, in the Vedic culture, they were very, very important as a kind of elevation of human society, as a purification of people in the material world, so that they basically could remember Vishnu and try to understand that whatever we have and whatever we do should be offered to God. So there's different sacrifices. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita more about the nature of how sacrifices function in the material world. So I'll just read that verse and purport. In the beginning of creation, this is from the Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text 9 says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Then text 10 says, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy by this yagya, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. I'll just read about the purport. The material creation of the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of the relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedas cha sarver aham eva vidya. The Lord says that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand him. In the Vedic hymns it is said, Patim Vishvas Yat Meshwaram. Therefore, the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also Srila Sukadev Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and he is the Lord of all living creatures, all worlds, all beauties, and the protector of everyone. The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yagyas, sacrifices, for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world, they can live very comfortably without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body, they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned souls. By performance of yagya, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. Then Prabhupada says the same thing as this purport. In the age of Kali, the Sankirtan Yagya, the chanting of the names of God, is recommended by the Vedic scriptures. And this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna, in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya, is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows with special reference to the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam, Twisha Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, Yagye Sankirtan Na Prayer, Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali, but the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita also, 9.14. So Prabhupada's in both these purports, he's talking about Sankirtan Yajna for this age of Kali Yuga. So there's many things we could say about that, but the Sankirtan Yajna, like in the beginning when Srila Prabhupada came to America and he started the movement, he went to the park and sat under a tree and with his small cartel, or maybe he had a little drum, and he was just chanting. And after a long time, Srila Prabhupada, he tried different things, but he was always chanting. And if we look at how the movement evolved from that time, we can see that we became famous, like when Gurudas and Shamasundar came to the UK, we heard how initially they were struggling a lot in different ways, and they were hoping to meet the Beatles or George Harrison. And I was watching Shamasundar Prabhu during the 50th anniversary, and he was saying that he realized that they needed to do something different, to appear like something exotic, because they didn't seem to be making any progress. So they decided to wear dhotis, and they dyed them yellow, and then they decided to shave their heads and leave a sika. So it's interesting that in the beginning they weren't dressed in dhoti and shaved heads, but it was actually something like a publicity stunt almost to attract attention. And then it became sort of like the uniform of the Hare Krishnas. And they chanted around London, and George Harrison saw them even in the pouring rain. And then eventually George Harrison donated this temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And there was Bury Place as well. Many, many things happened. And it's generally attributed to the Sankirtan Yajna. There's another purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, somewhere around the beginning also. I don't know the exact quote, but in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that in Europe, the Christian religion, the founders, the pioneers of Christianity were very austere. They did a lot of preaching, and they lived very austere lives as priests or monks. And then in previous centuries, like the people were very struggling very much with health problems. There wasn't good medical facilities. There was plagues and poverty, extreme conditions. But with Christianity, they actually prayed a lot to God, and they took shelter of the Supreme in their tradition. And they built eventually they built a lot of big churches, and they were very religious because they were struggling. In the material world, if you're struggling, you tend to ask God to help you. And so that's what they did. They prayed a lot and they built nice big churches. And then you could say materially things became a little bit more comfortable for them. And this is in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports. So, but what he's saying is that then the next generations, because they had that, because of the previous generation's piety, they had that comfort. So they became more like complacent, and they diminished their religious practices and their dependency and recognition of God. So then, Sisi Radha Kulananda Ki Jai. So after their forefathers were very pious, and they got a lot of reward, if you like, from God for their religiosity. But then the next generations, they became comfortable and complacent, and so the churches became empty, and then the following generations became more materialistic. So we have to also appreciate what the previous generations of Hare Krishna devotees have done, their austerities, their pioneering spirit, and all the yagyas they did, the sankirtan, and because of their hardships and determination to spread Krishna consciousness, we are blessed with quite a, you could say, comfortable or even an opulent situation. But we mustn't forget, like our teacher, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he used to say that if we have very nice facilities, nice buildings, nice structure, good supplies of what we need in the Hare Krishna movement, in the institution, that may be very nice, and it's a good sign, but we mustn't forget that the foundation is this yagya, this sankirtan yagya. Because if we forget what the mission of the institution is, then it just becomes an institution, and becomes a bit dry, like the difference between what many people nowadays they appreciate spirituality, but they don't appreciate religion or religiosity. Religion is generally not very cool for rational people. And but many people do, they like the idea at least of spirituality, even if it's a bit vague, a bit not very defined. So the Sankirtan movement, it's called a movement, it's not called a static, it's moving. And that movement means that this chanting of Hare Krishna and this wisdom of that Srila Prabhupada has explained to us, we have to study it and hear this holy name and hear this wisdom. That's called Shravanam. And Kirtanam means talking or singing, broadcasting the holy name and the message of Krishna consciousness. So we can discuss it, kirtan, amongst ourselves, you could say the converted or the those who are familiar with the philosophy, who are trying to practice Krishna consciousness. We should certainly do that. But In particular, Gaur Purnima is coming soon, and Lord Chaitanya has mentioned in both these purports that Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined, and that means that he's the embodiment of the transcendental rasa, the love of Radha and Krishna, and the love of the devotees with Krishna. So he's, and that's the highest spiritual truth. There's so many ideas that people have in the world about spirituality, religion, philosophy. And we're so fortunate that Prabhupada has explained in a very simple, clear way the most profound, highest spiritual truth. When we see Prabhupada's books and we actually try and understand his message, we can understand that this person actually knows what is what. This person, Srila Prabhupada, he can explain everything perfectly. So we have to study it ourselves, and we have to share it with amongst devotees, association of devotees. And we also have to understand that Prabhupada wanted us to share with this message and the chanting with the whole world, with other people, not just keep it in-house for ourselves, but to somehow serve the mission. Chandramuya Swami, who recently gave a class here many years ago, he told me that even more important than following the instructions of the spiritual master is to understand the mission of the spiritual master. What is his desire? What is his purpose in life to do for the disciplic succession? So that's very important. And so this mission, this is the Sankirtan mission, it's that we can try to follow, try to apply in our lives and associate with devotees, hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, but also try and think of ways to share it with other people in the world. And this is done, it can be done in many ways, and we should be both innovative and also try to understand the world and the people in the world. Sometimes we may make a mistake of thinking that the more different we are from the people of the world, the more spiritually advanced we are. But we would get better results connecting with the world. Not that we would start doing materialistic habits like people in general, without deviating from our core principles, but rather than be religious or have a sense of religious superiority, if we actually understand the people of the world and empathize with their suffering, I think it's called a sense of solidarity with the people of the world, that we are also conditioned souls. We've also suffered, and we are suffering in the same way. But we've been blessed with this spiritual wisdom and this Maha Mantra. So we'd like to share it with people. And many people are actually ready to receive and accept and consider this message, this chanting. And in fact, we don't have to. Srila Prabhupada told devotees earlier that you don't have to present Krishna consciousness as a list of rules and regulations. But people will naturally lead a more pure life the more they chant and the more they associate with devotees and the more they understand this wisdom. And in fact, many people in the world are actually good people. Most people are innocent. Most people are good-hearted. And even many people are, someone was telling me that, they're now closing down some of the, in the supermarket, I call it death row. There's these, where they have all the meat packed. So they're actually closing some of the aisles that are, they're selling less and less meat. And they're making these vegan and vegetarian options instead. So there is, for many people, there is an attraction to goodness, to lead a more simple life, to lead a more pure life. So if we are clever enough, we can slot Krishna consciousness in there somewhere. If we use the right words and the right presentations, we can, if we actually understand what kind of terminology, for example, will discourage people or put people off. You know, usually people don't like religion or religiosity. But this is the basic principle of the Sankirtan Yajna. Maybe we sacrifice our time, our sleep, our money, our energy, we're giving what we have to help others. And by helping others, we naturally help ourselves. We help the whole world. So that's Lord Chaitanya's message. This is not like a religion where we just come to church every Sunday or we do some, you know, personal studying and have our own groups. But there is also a mission to reach out to the world and share this message and this chanting of Hare Krishna. And that is described here as what Lord Chaitanya began, Harinam Sankirtan. And there's many ways of doing this, book distribution, going on Harinam, festivals, meeting people, holding programs, inviting people to the temple, and talking to people. These are the duties of our mission. So there's many devotees who are trying to do this in different ways. It's very glorious, and it's actually what we're meant to do. So that's a few words I thought of for today. Hare Krishna.